First reading this day, my brothers and sisters, is to present to us an image of the fulfillment of God's plan, his desire, the remaking of a garden on a mountaintop, God's holy mountain, it being a place not just of food and drink, but the best of food and drink. He actually reiterates it, you know, the choicest of things. But the beauty of this mountain and the needs being met by God and this thing is that his hand itself would be upon this mountain. It's not just the things, as beautiful as they are, the veil that veils all peoples being torn open so that people can see clearly all of the goodness that God promises in this. But most importantly, it is his presence with his people that is the fulfillment of the joy, the fulfillment of the promise. We see that in the second letter, St. Paul, today. I can do all things in God who strengthens me. What is he talking about? Well, he says, you know, I've learned to deal with a lack, and I've learned to deal with abundance. I've learned to deal with want and need, and fulfillment. So it's funny because we sit there and go, well, what did you have to learn about having abundance, right? Like, you don't have to learn much in that, right? Because, you know, when you're in lack, you're like, yeah, suck it up, right? Suck it up, that's not one, no. Offer it up is what I intended to say. Sorry about that. Yeah, offer it up is what I meant, right? Okay. Is it hot in here? No, it's not. Hey, deal with it, right? Offer it up. This is what, you know, oh, Paul, you're dealing with the hardship, right? But dealing with abundance, what is he speaking about? When we get into all the aspects of those who are wealthy having a hard time to enter the kingdom of God. Have you ever read any of the stories about people who have won the lottery? It literally destroys their life. You're thinking to yourself, no, not me. No, we would do it a different way. It literally destroys their life. All of their friendships, everything changes in a moment, in an instant. Terrible lives. When they should, yeah, it's all there. Finally, we won the lottery, right? So Paul says, whether in abundance or lack, whether in, he doesn't say health or in sickness, but he's implying that in all of the situations, the extremes of these things don't matter. And I've learned to live in them because I have God who strengthens me in all things. Again, a reminder that the fulfillment of God's promise is not about the things, but about him. Him entering into our lives. A relationship of intimacy. But then we turn to the gospel text, and it's not a parable about a vineyard. Finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of talking about vineyards, no vineyard today. It's just a wedding feast. A royal wedding feast. A royal wedding feast. Now, I mean, we get invitations to go to weddings all the time, but a royal wedding, right? We don't have very many of them in our world these days, but in the last 10 years there have been a few, right? What would it have been like if you would have got an invitation? Like, oh, random, I opened up the mailbox and I have an invitation to go to England for this royal wedding. Like, I don't know how I got on the guest list, but I think I'm going to put it on my credit card and I'm going, right? Seriously, like, what an opportunity. These people are invited to a wedding feast of a king's son, a prince, a royal wedding feast. And they dismiss it, and they ignore it. That doesn't sound reasonable. So then he sends more servants to invite them. And this time, they ignore it, they take it lightly, and they go off to work. They're not going on vacation. Hey, I had other trips planned. Something awesome to go to. They're going to work. They're going to the marketplace, to his business, to his farm. Again, another odd thing, don't you think? And then others that are hanging out there, they seize the servants, beat them, and kill them. I don't think these people liked this king. I don't think they wanted him to be a part of their life. They were fine without him. They take lightly the invitation, and they go off to do the work of their hands. After the killing of the king's servants, the king is enraged. He sends his troops, destroys that city, destroys those people, and then sends out new servants with new invitations to everyone. Now, it's important we understand, because as I was reading this to prepare Saturday morning, I was reading through, and I got to the line where the king then says to the servants, you know, those who were invited were not worthy of the invitation. And that word, I didn't like it. That word kind of stuck, kind of poked my heart. And I was like, not worthy. I'm like, oosh. Like, maybe it's our new sensitivity to PR language and all of that stuff. To say to someone, you're not worthy. Pretty intense. So what do? Well, you open it up in your app with the Greek, and you look up the Greek and say, what does the Greek say? And it's very interesting, because the Greek word, worthy, it also has the understanding of when we use the phrase, you know, something is wanting, is left wanting, or it's lacking, right? So if you bought, you know, 6 pounds of fillets from the butcher shop, and they put it on the scale, and you're watching, and the number goes up and goes up, and it goes to 5.5 pounds, and the butcher starts wrapping the bag, you'd say, hey, 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 that package is wanting, it's lacking, it's light. You got another half pound of fillet that you need to put in there, Mr., Mrs., right? It's found wanting, it's found lacking. So that phrase in the Greek, the word in Greek, that you're not worthy, is that you are found light. You're found wanting. And it's interesting, because there's a play on words with the, because I was reading it, New American Bible is the translation we use for the lectionary, and I was reading it in the RSV, and it said, they took the invitation lightly. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So again, I looked up the Greek. I don't usually look up the Greek, but I did. They took it lightly. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a play in words here. The invitation they took lightly, and they were found light. They took the invitation from the king lightly. And as a result, they were found to be wanting, to be light. Unworthy of the invitation. I was like, okay, that sits better on my heart. Because it's not some like natural defect of this person. They are not worthy, right? No, it was that they didn't receive the invitation with the weight of the invitation, the importance of the invitation. I can dare say to you, my brothers and sisters, that invitation is an invitation of life or death. And what they were refusing and taking it lightly was that our life will be because of the work of our hands. We're going to business, going to the farm. That's what's important. That's where I'll find life. This invitation to be in this royal wedding and celebrate for a whole week, I can't do it. Got to stick with the business. Got to take care of the work. Not understanding that the invitation to enter into the banquet feast of the king's son was an invitation for life itself. They were found wanting. They were found light. And so he sends out more invitations. He invites everybody. Be like us, send out an invitation, come to church, go into Strasser's. Okay, you six, go into Strasser's. Grab everybody from Strasser's and bring them in to church. We'd have people in, you know, overalls, coveralls coming in with paint buckets that they just bought. And they're like, I hear there's a meal. You know, I got invited to come in. Sure, come on in, right? Some people would arrive and they wouldn't be dressed right. Which gets us to the second part of the parable. The wedding feast, the hall is filled. All right, king's happy. King comes out to meet the guests, and he walks out and he sees someone. And how does he address this person? "You scoundrel, you scallywag." You know? No, he says, "My friend. My friend. How is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?" Now, we just said, right? Understanding, we just grabbed them from Strasser's and pulled them in. They're not dressed for this. "You pulled me in off the street. I was shepherding sheep. I was digging a ditch, and they got invited into this wedding feast." Right? But there's something that, you know, we have to understand in the context of the time of Jewish weddings. Because of that situation at that time, the host would provide wedding garments for anyone that needed it. Because the idea of people traveling and the distance of travel and the lack of like an exact time, and you're like, "Okay, I'll be there. Like, here's my forwarding my information. My plane arrives at such and such." Nah, none of that. People would be traveling harsh conditions, all of that stuff, traveling lightly. They would arrive, and the host would provide a wedding garment if they needed it. So the question is justified. Look, there's a whole closet full of wedding garments. How is it that you came in here without a wedding garment on? Notice he doesn't say, "Because I was digging a ditch, because I was doing the shepherding thing, because I was over at Strasser's buying paint." He doesn't have any excuse. He's reduced to silence. Why is he reduced to silence? Because there are wedding garments provided. He simply needed to receive it and to be prepared for the wedding feast, but didn't. For whatever reason, he's reduced to silence. "I don't need that. I'm good the way I am." And so the king says to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet. Bind his hand and feet and throw him into the darkness outside where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth." I don't know if you like this king or not. But again, it's an understanding that this is a matter of life and death. What does he bind? His hand and his feet, right? His hands and his feet. What was the reason for the rejection of the first invitation? The work of their hands. So it's a very clear understanding that it's the work of our hands that we reject and take lightly this invitation. Even coming into the feast, you will be reduced to nothing. Because that which you depend upon, your hands and your feet for life, for whatever, that too will be taken away. It won't be there. This is a matter of life or death, my brothers and sisters. So we come into this, and the last part is interesting too. Now that I've taken some time to actually, one, proclaim that last line in the gospel, because it sounds harsh as well. Right? It says, "Many are called, few are chosen." Gosh, it sounds like, okay, you get called and you line up against the wall, and the king's going to go through and be like, "No, no, no." Like some defective character, right? Again. And it's not what it is. The Greek, the invitation, let's see. Kletos. Kletos is the invitation to be invited. Kletos. All right? So it says, "Many are kletos, invited, but few are ekkletos." So it uses the same root, and the little thing ek means are drawn from, come out of. And so the choosing is not, again, looking at the person and like, "Oh, there's a default here, there's a default here." It's that you can be described from your calling, that you have made the calling your own, and this is now an adjective from you. You are ekkletos. It's where we get the church name ecclesia, those who are called forth. You see, so the calling and taking that to oneself is intimately connected. And so there are two responses in this. First, receiving the invitation. We have to understand the invitation from our Heavenly Father into this is a heavy invitation. And when I mean heavy, it's not like a burden for you, but it's like it's got weight. You know? I don't know. I think guys buy stuff and they're like, man, I really like this. Why? Because it's heavy. Right? It's like you can tell it's like quality metal in this thing, right? Like, you gotta move that speaker. It's like 50 pounds. I know, but it's like it's heavy. That tells me that the magnets in it are big and this is good, right? The heaviness of something. The heaviness of the call. This beautiful call that is extended to all of us is one of life and death. It removes the burden and the weight of life from our hands, and it is in the hands of God and receiving the invitation. So one, first thing we have to do is receive the invitation. The second thing is, we're coming into the feast. There is a preparation that is needing to be done for us. This, my brothers and sisters, is my wedding garment. This is alb that I wear, which just means white. The white thing that I wear, the white alb, right? That I wear, this is my wedding garment. I received my wedding garment at my baptism. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. There is preparation that need be done to enter into the wedding feast of the Lamb. And that is done, again, in an invitation for us to receive this grace. This garment I didn't have to buy. It's an outward sign and expression of the dignity of being washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and being filled with His Holy Spirit, that I would come into it. It's what it has been done, the preparation that is offered to me, that I receive that and identify with it, become it. Acknowledge that I'm not worthy to come in it on my own. That all of us need to be prepared. All of us need to be cleansed and prepared for the wedding feast. And it is His gift to you to identify with that truth, to be in it, to be ekkletos, not just called, but one that takes that calling to oneself and becomes ekkletos, the one that is chosen from the call. And this is all about intimacy, my brothers and sisters. I asked the question, I said, how many of you really don't? This king sounds like a pretty tough dude, right? But this king, in conjunction with his son, is going to offer his only son for the redemption of the whole world. His son, the one, the wedding feast that's prepared for him, is prepared to give his entire life for the bride. And guess what? You're there at the wedding feast of the Lamb, not as a guest, but as the bride. The church, the ecclesia, the called, the anointed, the ones that have received him and washed clean, becomes the bride of the wedding feast. It's about intimacy. It's always been about intimacy. It's always been about invitation. It's not just like, hey, I hope they got some really nice, you know, barbecue at the wedding reception. It's not about the stuff. It's about the one who loves you. And the invitation in the wedding feast, and you know, it says he killed the fatted calf and all of that stuff and things, but the fulfillment of how this is applied to us is the wedding feast of the Lamb, and we have no fatted calf for the wedding feast of the Lamb. It is the very heart of the groom, broken open for his bride. It moves it so far beyond a meal into an intimacy of love that is desired. And my brothers and sisters, it is a matter of life or death. It is what God wants to do for you, in you. What He has done for you, the invitation, receive the invitation, see its worth, see its dignity, see its value, draw that invitation to yourself, become transformed and changed in that invitation. Receive that grace, allow it to be a part of your life and enter into the feast. That's the invitation, my brothers and sisters. What an incredible, incredible, incredible destiny belongs to those that are invited and to embrace that invitation and enter in. So much life, so much intimacy, so much fruitfulness is all that God wants for all of us. And so, gratitude, my brothers and sisters, gratitude. Gratitude for the invitation. Gratitude for the wedding garments that are waiting for us to enter in. Gratitude for the wedding feast that is beginning in our celebration today. Amen.